Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Carino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Oh, yeah, looking at the sea, looking out at the vast expanses of the last days of summer here on Motor Mouth Radio.
Yes, winding down.
Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts, Ray Guarino, and co-host, wingman, confidant,
other guy,
Joe D.
Sup?
How's everything doing this week, Joe?
Yeah, not bad. You know, summer's ending. I'm a little sad there, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you and me
both. At least it's been going out. The last few days have been really nice and so forth, you know?
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. It's been good to be outside and whatnot, because soon enough, because I'm well known for my hatred of the cold.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm soaking it in. Hopefully, I'll retain some heat. You know?
We can always hope, you know, like a lizard on a rock. Well, that was Chris's deal, being the lizard on a rock.
Lizard on a rock.
You know, it's, I prefer not to think about it.
I remember that time you cut his tail off.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, was he mad.
It grew back.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
So anyway, you can be a part of this. Get in on the fun with us. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Yep.
And you can also follow us on MotorMouthRadio.com, our website, and social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter, which have the same name as the website. And
Real underscore. Don't forget the underscore, MotorMouthRadio.
On Instagram, right. And Twitter's been a little slow. It's been a little bit, we always post to all the platforms, and Twitter has the least interaction. Instagram is a lot quicker. That's the platform I actually prefer more.
Right.
So, you know, we put stuff up that we do during the week. And
yeah, some of the stuff you did with the shop manual for the Fiat.
Right.
That was pretty cool. You know, it's like it's in the owner's manual.
Now, that was something, I'll tell you, that's a story that was out of my past. I actually, that job wasn't done recently. I did that a while ago, but it was always in my head. Like, I wanted to talk about it. And just to recap, and then you should go back and you can see you won't see the picture of the engine because I didn't take any, but I showed the literature. I had done a timing belt on the car.
Right.
And of course, dual overhead cam. So two cam sprockets. And the car always had a bit of a long crank, which is kind of odd, but, you know, so I played with ignition and I played with carburation, made sure everything was optimized, and then it continued. So I said, all right, well, maybe, you know, some cars just exhibit certain behavior, right?
Yeah. Idiosyncrasies.
Yeah. So once when I was putting the timing belt back on, I noticed you have to align the marks. There's a bar that comes across the top with pointers, and those cam sprockets have to be aligned dead nuts, perfect.
Yeah.
And this is an interference fit engine, so it's even more, you know, more important.
Yes.
And what I found was, I said, okay, let me look at what the marks are supposed to be. So I went to my Haynes manual, and it showed a set of marks on the sprockets that did not appear on the sprockets I had on my engine. I'm like, all right. So I went to the FSM, the factory service manual. Figured this is going to be it. I just didn't feel like going downstairs and dragging it out. Well, that showed the same marks that Haynes showed. And I think I had another publication at the time. It might have been a Climber. Yeah, maybe it was a Climber manual.
That was another one of the biggies there.
Looked at that. Nope. Showed different marks. And I'm like, now what do I do? You know, I have marks that don't appear in these books. And I don't know why I did it. Maybe I remembered at the time seeing something in passing, but I said, the owner's manual. I flipped through it, and there it was. And I put that up on the social media platforms. You can see it, that the it showed the orientation of the belt, but it actually showed the marks on the cams that were on the cam sprockets in my car. And I said, wow.
Look at that.
Who would ever think, no one in any shop would ever think to go to, no, but I would never think to go to a owner's manual.
Yeah, that's very German, actually.
Yeah. I don't know who's working with them that day. But yeah, so anyway, I figured that was something good to share because it's, we always talk about having information. And of course, Joe, you are my information.
Oh, no. You helped me out this week.
I did.
Yes, you did.
I did get a little bit. You know, and I'm so gun shy these days, like people should be with newer cars. When my daughter called me to say her RAV4 wouldn't start again at work, this happened a few years ago, and the dash lit up like a Christmas tree. And I told her, I said, don't worry, Joe said, that's what RAV4, Toyota does that. Everything lights up because you got to pay attention, right?
Yep.
So let me get the troops together. Let me get my jump packs. And I'll come up there and see. And, of course, the car did start. It needed a battery. Bottom line was a battery.
See?
But I called you right away because I thought, oh, God, what the hell is in store for me? Like, what's going on with the later model Toyotas that I might want to know about before I just go and attack it like in like
right,
an
yeah,
older
because
car?
You never know. Well, you might have to perform some type of exorcism.
Or do something.
You might need the dead rubber chicken, you know, something like that.
Or do something in a certain sequence of steps, or don't do this. And that's why I called you. I said, let me be safe and call and get the... and you were like, no, probably just needs a battery.
Yeah.
And you were right.
It's a Toyota, so it's okay.
Right.
These days, though, battery disconnects can be fun, because when you disconnect the battery, like the first thing you do is your power windows get goofy on a lot of cars, because then you have to do the little relearn, hold the button down, hold the button up.
Yeah.
Say Experiamus, and then, and if you don't do that, like, you get some of the stuff where the battery went dead or whatever, and the customer comes into the shop, and my auto down doesn't work, my auto up. I'm like, oh my God, let's start a GoFundMe page.
Right.
Come on, stop it.
What types of cars? I've heard of that. I haven't run into
Subarus,
that myself.
Subarus, Nissans, comes to mind. Certain Ford products with, Mustangs.
Okay.
Yeah, because when you open the door, like the window pops down just a little bit. And if the...
I know the Beamers do that,
too. Yeah, if certain modules don't know where they are, that can get kind of expensive. Battery disconnects is something that I try not to do unless you got it. Now, on the other hand, there are certain things that sometimes you just got to wipe the memory out. It's just got to give it the old lobotomy there.
Right.
But you got to be careful. You got to choose your battles.
Speaking of that, I wanted to maintain the radio and all the settings in the car. So I have a Redhead connector that actually you had picked up for me some years ago.
Yeah, that thing, yeah.
And I said, good. It just plugs into the ALDL, the computer link under the dash, and you can put a lithium, a battery on the thing, and it keeps everything powered up. So, of course, I was at home doing this, and I go into the garage, into my Standard Motors cabinet, where I know this thing lives right up on the second shelf.
Of course.
And it's not there. And I was like, where'd it go? Now, no one's in there but me, and I thought, for a second, I had a little bit of a heart attack, and I knew, I know now. If it's not there, it's going to be only one other place.
Right.
It's at the shop. I brought it over there to leave there. I'm like, son of a biscuit. So I said, okay, how can I work around this? Well, one of the jump pack batteries I have has some really big clips on it, really big clamps, and I clamped it on the ring part of the positive cable, and the negative cable on the Toyota has like a metal strap that comes out in the night. I clamped it to that.
Sure, that works.
Them, and then I did my thing. I cleaned the battery hole down and took the got the crud off it and repainted it and whatnot. And it lasted for a while, for a couple hours. And I was putting it back together, putting the cables back on. One of the clamps popped off. Like,
oh!
I made it right to the end.
Yep.
And so we had to reprogram everything, but not the worst thing in the world.
That's not too bad. By the way, be careful. There are certain cars, like certain Hondas come to mind, that you plug that thing in, and it pops either the radio or the dome light fuse.
Really?
Because Honda just wants to be different when it comes to that. So I've had it where they plugged the battery saver into the shop, and now stuff stops working.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's, you're on the merry chase looking to see what popped where,
Yeah.
Which one of the seven fuse boxes?
Well, that's what happened on my Mazda when I lost my auxiliary, you know, twice.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. See what I mean?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, that stuff stinks, you know?
Absolutely. But, yeah, what are you going to do?
Newer cars, you got to have your information. If you don't have the information, you are in trouble because there are certain things that have to be looked at. And you also have to just understand how stuff works.
Very true.
Even when it comes to stuff like, why certain codes are set. You know what I mean? I really recommend that, you know, you get some version of a shop manual or one of the online, like Mitchell or All Data, that they have do-it-yourself, like civilian versions. That,
yes.
You know, I think All Data is like $35 a year and you get the car.
We do have an article on the Motor Mouth Radio website under the blogs tab that kind of breaks down those options for people. You know, course, the information was current when we put it up, so if there was pricing there, that may have changed, but at least it'll give you, there's some links you can click that'll take you to those places.
Right,
it'll
get you in the neighborhood. Yeah, definitely, right. Because otherwise you are up the creek. The other thing is that, you know, I know people make fun of me because of my long relationship with scan tools. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But you know something? There is certain stuff that you absolutely have to have a scanner that's not the $25 cheapie. And the older cars, too. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you could access without the... that you can't do with, like, a test light and a pair of vice grips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I found out, I've made the suggestion to a couple guys that we were BSing with, and you know, there's a lot of old scanners on eBay, among other places, Craigslist, eBay, and you know, if you got like a 1998 car, all right, which is new enough to have certain sophisticated stuff in there, all right, and you know, you really should have something that should be able to access it outside of the cheap old bargain basement stuff. And you could buy a lot of these scanners for like a tenth of what they were, what they sold for. And you don't have to worry about updating them. You don't have to worry about their power because you're not going, you know, unless you intend on using it on a 2017 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's worth a couple of $100 maybe to get one.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they cover a multitude of cars and years, you may want to go in with it with a couple of your buddies. You know, and...
There's an idea.
Yeah, I mean, because even OBD1 GM, OBD1 Chrysler...
Yeah.
You can do a lot of stuff with this.
So is that like the equivalent of back in the day where we're like, hey, we want to build this race car. Let's go in on it. We'll go in together on it.
You know, right.
A couple guys go in, and that never worked.
Oh, no, that stuff never goes. Unfulfilled.
Now let's go in on a scan tool together.
Right, yeah. Okay, which one of you can read?
Right. Who knows how to push a button?
Yeah, seriously. It's a really good idea that people haven't, at least guys have, it hasn't occurred to a lot of guys because there are enough cars from like the late 80s, early 90s, even early 2000s that could make use of what a scan tool could do for you.
Yes.
But you don't need, the latest, the newest stuff is great. It's tablet based or laptop based, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
It's rocket fast, and it shows you all kinds of stuff, and you can record, and you can graph, and can take selfies of it, you're viewing the car with it, and this and that. But you know, no, you don't need that. You just need some basic information. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you have a problem with your car, not starting installing, and you're looking at how much airflow you have, because or whether you have a vacuum leak.
You would.
You know, there's certain, you know, there's scan data that you can get in there, and. You could look at while the car's running, you could see what's going on, you know, fuel trims, oxygen sensors. And a lot of this stuff, especially GM cars, are pretty self-explanatory, which if you don't have, you're working in the dark.
Yeah.
You know? Oops, we're talking about the dark. A blue light has just emerged in the studio.
Got us right. All right, we'll give it a shot. We're right on the break, so we'll see. We'll go to the phones, we'll say hi.
The brakes.
We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, this is Randy. How are you guys?
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, I'm great. I have a question.
Well, how did you find us? How did you find us? You're a new caller. That's great.
Yeah, my dad's listening to you guys on the radio right now.
So he's a regular listener, huh?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, what's your problem? Shoot.
So I'm on a little road trip with my mom, and all of a sudden my car starts shaking when I'm going 65 miles per hour. Any less, it's really not making that noise, but when I go at high speeds, it sounds like I actually blow a tire. So we pulled over to the side of the road, checked my tire, everything's fine. I actually went to a Sears automotive spot right in Connecticut, and they did a tire balancing. They thought that was the issue, that was going to fix the issue. So now we're back on the road. We're going maybe like 45, 50, and it happens again.
Wow.
My car is shaking. It's making almost like a sound like I'm riding on the rim of my wheel.
Okay, what kind of car is it?
It's a 2017 Ford Escape.
Okay.
Wow, that's pretty new for some kind of wacky stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
Any lights illuminating? You know, check engine light, ABS
light?
Nothing.
That's what I looked for first. When I thought the tire blew, I immediately thought I was going to see that little exclamation point. Nothing.
Yeah. Does it happen?
And also,
does it happen at a specific speed?
Yeah, she was saying.
Yeah, it was happening. We were on the 684 going to Connecticut, and it happened after like an hour's worth of driving when we were going 65. Now, then we pulled over, then now it's at like 50, 55.
Oh.
Now it's making that noise.
So now it's getting slower and slower.
They kind of past the bases we would have done. Like, first thing you'd look at, you could literally have a loose wheel, but if they took the wheel on and off, that should be tight.
Right.
And then the balance is another thing, so they rule that out. I mean, the next thing you look at would be like something like an axle or a strut.
You know,
could be bad. But I would think they would have seen that when they...
Make any really hard stops? Have you had...
No hard stops at all, no. They said they were going to also check, what the hell was it? Like, the steering and everything.
Right. Do you feel
nothing.
Anything? Do you
they
feel anything through the steering
anything.
Wheel? Is it trying to steer you a little bit? Like it's a wheel going
it
back
is,
and
it's,
forth?
It's trying to steer me to the right once I go those high speeds. It actually feels. It makes that sound like you're riding on the on like the rim of your car. But Sears said they could not find anything.
Okay. If you touch the brake very discreetly, not slightly, just kind of. Does that change anything? Because if it does, it might be a rotor. It might be a brake disc, a brake rotor, because I've seen them where... that's why I wonder if you had any brake work done lately.
Yeah.
As well.
I haven't, no.
Okay, yeah. That could be like a rotor warping. An axle, that's an all-wheel drive or a front-wheel drive? Your car.
It is... I don't know. The 17 Ford Escape, I don't know. I think I have all-wheel.
Okay, yeah, they came both ways, so, you know, either way. It sounds like you have something. If you can feel it in the steering wheel, something's definitely loosening up, heating up, and if the speed is getting slower, that it happens. I mean, a lot of times when a balance issue happens, it happens at a certain speed. You know, people joke. You know, well, it happens when I go 65. Well, don't go 65. You know, go 75. Go 55.
Well, we're going back to New York, and we're going to be hitting the highways and the bridges, and you got to go like 65. So that's why
I understand.
Home.
Yeah, I would say that at this point, either they missed something. I think they missed something.
I would think so too. And this is a tough call because we're talking safety here. We're talking front end steering, braking.
Right.
There's a lot of things in effect right here.
Right, and you got a little bit of a pull. You said.
Yeah. So when it gets to that high speed and it starts going, you know, that's when it pulls me to the right.
Okay. Hit any good potholes?
No, not at all. Not recently at all.
Like rim or something?
I'm thinking.
They did say there was a little bit of a. They did say something was wrong with my rim, but on my right side, which didn't make sense because when the noise happens, it definitely sounds like it's coming from the left wheels.
Okay. Well,
but they said only one rim was like bent a little bit on the right side. I will say this:
noises have a way of transmitting through a car.
Right.
That sometimes
that's true.
They start in the front, but you hear it in the back. So,
and sometimes the pull is to the is happening on the opposite side of where the fault is. That's one thing.
By the way, I think we can pretty much rule out the wheels because if they had them off and balanced them, they were running on a balancer.
Maybe you shifted.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe you shifted belt
In the tire.
Yeah.
I guess that's, yeah, not bad enough to see it as it's running.
Well, yeah, because they put the hood over it, you know what I mean? You know, the safety hood there?
Yeah.
So if they put the hood over it, you know, it might be something, okay, but they have two types of balancing.
Yes.
They have regular balancing where they put that thing, it looks like the, it looks like your washing machine.
Yeah,
you bolt it on there.
Yeah, no, I've definitely
put the hood
seen that,
down,
yeah.
It spins up and blah, blah, blah. Then they have what they call road force balancing, which is where this big roller comes in and it applies a load to the tire, and sometimes that brings out a lot of other stuff.
I've had that done to my car to try to find a problem. Yeah, and they probably didn't do that. The other thing to do would be move the fronts to the rear and rear to the front.
Yeah, exactly. Shift them that way and just see, because even though if it's you know, bad enough, that you still have to approach that like be careful about driving it. But yeah, maybe shift the tires front to back. Just, you know, that would probably be the easiest thing.
And then you want to see if that problem moves. Like now, if you feel the vibration in the back of the car,
right? Yeah,
you know it's one or both of the tires or the wheel assembly that's doing it.
Right.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you might have hit something and I realized it. I mean, we're not talking about a pothole where, you know, you hit it and it got dark for a second.
You could pick something up and split, you know what I mean? Boot. You can split an axle boot.
Right.
Do all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, I would definitely, at the very least, try swapping the tires, say, front to back. Because that should take you like 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Or take a guy with a lift or a jack 10 minutes and an air gun, you know what I mean?
All right, so there's a Mavis close to where we are right now.
Yeah.
That's where I was going to head to next.
Yes. That's a good idea.
Explain the problem. Go to Mavis, and you think someone there would be able to diagnose a little bit or take your advice and just switch the wheels up?
Well, explain to them. Explain the problem. Explain what you've had done already, and tell them the problem still exists. So that you know, anybody who's,
and it's getting worse. It's going slower now.
Yeah, they should be able to take it from there. Yeah, and if there's time within the hour, get back to us and let us know what happened, Randy. Please.
Okay, I definitely will. We're going there right now. It shouldn't be more than like 15 minutes. So.
Or, you know, you can get us on social media. We have motormouthradio.com.
Yeah, please let us know.
And we're on Twitter and Instagram. You can shout us out on it, too, because we'd like to follow up on this.
Please do.
It's Motor Match?
Motor Mouth.
Oh, Motor Mouth.
Radio.
Yeah.
M-O-U-S-E or mouth? Mouth. Got it. Motor mouth.
That's
okay.
All right.
Got it.
Thanks, Randy, and good luck.
Thanks, Randy.
Yes,
please
thank
tell
you
us
so
no.
much, guys, for your help.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Oh, I hope that she solves that problem. And for now, we have another problem. We have to, let's dance. We're going to take a break here on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Nassau Community College is here to support your goal to obtain a degree or certificate or enhance your skills to advance your career.
Several programs are offered at a convenient time on the weekend where you can attend classes Friday evening through Sunday.
In addition, you can complement face-to-face classes with distance education courses which can be taken online.
More information about the programs and courses that are offered on the weekend can be found by contacting the Office of Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at 516-572-3554 or email weekendcollege@ncc.edu.
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you in part by Car Show Long Island, presented by Town of Oyster Bay Supervisor Joseph Saladino, part of the Fall 2019 Tobey Beach Classic on Sunday, September 22nd at Tobey Beach from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Rain date is Sunday, October 13th. More information about Car Show Long Island can be found online at carshowli.com.
Let's dance on.
Oh, yeah. Listen, go to the car show because we're going to be there on the 22nd. Joe and I will be doing a live remote.
Yep.
And also, next week we'll be at the Malibu show in Whitestone doing interviews because we can't do a live remote because of other things going here at the college. And while you're dancing on, you should always listen to Jewish Talk on this station, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Rabbi Pearl thinks in Jewish but speaks in English. And his show features the best in Jewish talk and issues affecting the Jewish community. So make sure you do that. And while we do that, we can do this. We can go to the phones again and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
It's happy.
Hey,
man.
All right. Yeah, I was just listening to that last caller. You know, I had a situation about a month ago. I'm behind a Ford Explorer, right? And I see that the wheel was shaking like crazy. You know, so I come up the side of the guy, right, and I'm pointing, you know. And I know in this day and age, you know, you're not going to pull over. You think it's some kind of scam or something, you know. But the guy, you know, he pulled over. I said, boy, your wheel is shaking like crazy. He goes, yeah, I thought I felt something, you know. So I stick my head on it. It looked like it was the wheel bearing. Yeah, you know, like the wheel bearing started to, you know, let loose, you know, with an all-wheel drive.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking at it, I see all rust and everything coming out of the wheel bearing like it's been on its way out for a while, you know. So you may want to check the wheel bearing.
The interesting thing, Tara, is a car is a 2017, so it's kind of new.
Yeah, it's kind of new.
Anything could happen, you're right.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Right.
You know, so anyway, so I thought I'd follow up with my heated oxygen sensor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so hopefully I got it sorted out. And, you know, thanks to Joe. One thing when we were talking last week about it, he gave me one key phrase, you know, and it stuck in my mind. And I think that's what led me to the problem. Okay, and he said more or less that, the sensor senses resistance, you know, and that turns the light out, you know. So with that in mind, I went with a test light, and I go to the heated oxygen sensor. There's two wires up top, you know, one positive, one ground, I imagine, that, you know, heats up the element, you know, in the sensor.
Right.
So anyway, I put the test light on it, and I got battery voltage on one side. You know, so I said, this is weird, you know, so I'm getting voltage. So but I said, hey, how about ground? You know, go on the other side with the test light. Sure enough, no ground. Okay,
ta-da.
No ground. I said, all right, so how can it sense resistance if it's not getting a ground? Thanks,
right.
Joe, that was it.
So,
with that information. So anyway, so and now I'm checking all the grounds and everything. I said, okay.
Right.
I got to make the call, and I'm going to say it's the PCM, okay, because it grounds through the PCM, you know.
Yes,
so
it does.
I said, the most misdiagnosed part on an automobile, right, the PCM,
sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, okay, but I'm going to go with it. So lucky enough, I got to give a shout out to Flagship One Computers in Lindbrook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know.
Heard of them.
Oh, my
God.
So I go down there, very helpful, you know, and they're not used to walk-ins because everything's done over the Internet, you know. So I get a PCM, a remanufactured PCM for $75.
Beautiful.
I said, okay.
Nice.
This is a deal, you know. This can't get better than this. All right. So I come home, and what's in the mail? My registration with the big yellow warning on it. Your car has not been, you know, registered. You cannot register your car. I'm like, oh boy, this is cascading into a deal here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I got this on my head. So I put the PCM in, right, and great, the light's out. I said, let me go for readiness. You know, I got to take it for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so I'm riding. No light. Oh, this is fantastic. I take it to work the next day. Oh, this is good. I'm gonna take it in for inspection Friday. And this whole thing will be over for the Labor Day weekend. Womp, 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 womp.
No.
The light comes on.
Same
like,
codes?
Oh, my God, I can't believe this. I said, I can't. So I go back, scan it again. I got one code, okay? Downstream oxygen sensor, heated circuit, bank one.
I said,
okay, well, now I'm down to one thing. So I said, it's got to be the ground. You know, bad wire. So I'm slicing out and I'm cutting up the harness, and I'm going and I'm tracing, and it goes somewhere into the engine harness, and I'm going up. I said, eventually this has to go to the computer. So I said,
but
I'm just going to jump this thing. So I put a ground wire from one to the other, and boom. So now I went for a little ride last night, you know, put about 40 miles on it, you know, getting ready for readiness.
Right.
No lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's it. You know, I got to get this thing inspected or I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you sure are. That's the oxygen sensor heating monitor. All right.
Yeah.
Just a couple quick clarification of a couple things. 40 cm's. Do
the oxygen sensor heated ground is through the ECM. It varies the amount of the ground, what they call pulse width modulates it. So that way sometimes it cranks it up, sometimes it cranks it back. You know, it does what it's going to do. What happens is that there are times that if you don't happen to hit that thing with the test light or whatever you're going to use at that time, you know, there may be no command. Okay. Mm. Now, that's one thing. Have I seen a lot of late 90s Fords kill the O2 heaters, you know, the PCM part of the O2 heater? Yeah. You may want to check the resistance of that sensor to go between those two wires, because if it's too low, for example, it draws too much current and it poofs the ECM.
Ah, interesting.
Okay. Or
is there a spec on what the resistance should be?
Yeah, I got to look it up. I got to remember that. I got to find the code. But typically, they're somewhere between 2 and 5 ohms, top of my head. But you should be able to find that in the flow chart there. Because either that or if the wire was melted up against the... If some O2 heater problem befell the car, all right? One, it takes one sensor, and I've seen smoke the entire ECM. So you're on the right track. It's just that the bad guy may... Did you change those sensors?
Yeah, yes. I've changed all four of them.
All right.
Yeah, you know.
So I would say that what you may want to do there is just double check the resistance, maybe at least just for last, you know, because I've seen certain aftermarket sensors have the wrong resistance. So just because it'll take you 30 seconds, though, you know, you really should. At that point, the other thing you'd have to do to watch them work is either scan data, as we were talking about. You got a launch, I think you said, right? So you should be able to get into that. There's a whole O2 sensor data menu in the Ford thing, which no one launched. They probably got that too. And just compare it to the other guys. Does it say zero? Usually they come in right around an amp, you know, like 900 milliamps or something like that. You know what I mean? But yeah, just take a gander at that. Either that, or maybe they kind of let, you know, because there are four circuits, they might have let that one pass.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, oops.
You could always move the sensor and start playing that game too.
Yeah, you could snip the wires and trade two ground wires and see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I did. I just jumped it. I said I got to get this thing inspected like Tuesday. You know, or I won't be able to register it. You know. So you think I'll be okay to go with it? Yeah. You know, for a weekend.
Look at your ready. Do you have a scanner that sees the readiness?
Right.
Readiness?
Yeah. I'm gonna see if I got readiness.
Okay. Because remember,
I should have.
You're allowed two pre-2000. So in other words, if you don't have, say, the O2 heater monitor and the EVAP, run! Do not walk to the nearest inspection station and get it done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Steve. Well, we are going to have to...
That's where I'm at. So, but that key phrase got me, you know, here, you know, and that, I got to thank you for that.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you know,
a problem.
That it monitors resistance, and then I kind of understood the whole, you know, ball of wax there, you know. So at least it got me that far. Yeah,
it's
you
just
know,
like the key phrase Joe said, where he said run, because we're going to have to run and take another break.
All right.
So, yeah, keep us in touch on that. Let us know what goes on. And I know you got the car show schedule, so you know where we'll be for that.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, man.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
All
righty. So long. All right. The hour is flying by, Joe. We're going to take another quick break.
Wow.
Let's do the chug-a-lug. Then I think we're going to talk to Mr. Lewis Lee. We have a report coming in from him. Let's do that. We'll be back with more on Motormouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
The ivy walls were covered with foam on graduation night.
Easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC. This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Chug-a-lug. Oh, yeah, we're chug-a-lugging, trophy running. We're doing all sorts of crazy stuff here on Motormouth Radio. 516-572-7440. We're expecting to hear from our good buddy and compatriot, Mr. Lewis Lee. He's going to give us some updates about the Thursday Night Plane and Traffic show.
Yeah.
And I do have there to also mention that we've been watching this weekend the 36-hour Mega
Uncle
Marathon.
Tony Mega Marathon.
Right, from Uncle Tony's garage. He's in the middle of it now. He started at noon yesterday, so he's more than 24 hours in. And it's kind of, I have my thoughts on this stuff, but, you know, if you're on dial-up YouTube, you want to check Uncle Tony's garage, and you can see what he's up to. He's raising money for an animal shelter, which is nice. It's one that's in Staten Island.
Worthy cause.
Very worthy cause. So that's good. Good to know. And it's kind of weird watching any kind of, I've watched a few live feeds lately from people who I follow, and I'm not a big fan of it. It's not one of my favorite things to do without a doubt. But
you got to be in the right state of mind for that, because you're pretty much visiting with the guy virtually. So you got to be ready to hang in there, you know?
Right, exactly. You have to, it's kind of, and everybody does it a little differently. You know, everybody has different, just like radio hosts, there's different we all have different styles and stuff like that. So
let's see who's flashing now.
We got Lewis is going to give us, I just had to give him the number, so let's see if that's let's see what we got here. Well, let's try it. Let's
flash the flashy thing.
Let's do this and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey Ray, how's it going?
Hey, Lewis Lee, Orleans Mag, Plane and Traffic. You're here with Ray and Joe.
Hey Lewis.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
All right, man.
And first of all, congratulations on Peach's big win again. Peach's is Lewis's motorcycle.
Ah.
And he took another trophy, this guy. Another best of, which is, wow, it's great.
man.
Peach's,
when she goes out, she don't play.
Yeah, absolutely. And they love you in that town, I tell you. You are definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah. She this second year running at the Canfield Fair. Mm-hmm. For vintage, so I won the vintage class. Real exciting, you know. I put in a lot of work on the bike, and it's nice to, you know, be appreciated.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it's a vintage class, I guess, because of the age, but your bike is equivalent to a resto-mod car. You took an older bike, and you just blew it out, made this thing gorgeous, where it's obviously a show winner, so that is that's very cool. How big was the field?
I think there was 60 in my class, but there were probably 350, 400 bikes at the show.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's a great turnout. Very good.
Yeah, real nice turnout. The weather was perfect. I mean, we couldn't have bought a nicer day here in Ohio.
Right. Yeah, well, here too. The whole East Coast has been just beautiful. So
we've
been loving that. So tell us, you got some big news. We had some changes on Thursday night that people who follow that show follow this one, and I figured who better than the man himself to make that announcement?
Plan and Traffic. We've been in on live every Thursday night for it'll be 5 years this month.
Wow!
Wow, that was quick.
Time flies pretty quick. Lou Santiago was the co-host. And Ray, of course, from Motormouth, he's our affiliate.
That's me.
Guy. And so Lou's moving on. He's working on an internet show that he's going to produce himself. So he's really busy. You know, he has a lot of things to take care of. So, you know, his time is very limited. So he's going to step away from Plan and Traffic. But we're going to continue to push it and. And we're going to have special guests on like we always have, celebrities and companies, builders, mm-hmm. The usual.
Right.
And then we'll also have special guests come on to host different entertainers. We got a pretty good lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, we're just going to keep it moving.
It's actually this kind of the same thing this show has gone through. We went through a big change a couple of years ago when Joe and I found ourselves at the helm taking over. And it was like, you know, it always puts a little wave in the calm pool of the way things move. But you just kind of ride that wave. We took out our board mm-hmm. shorts and we learned how to surf.
Yeah, right, it. Right.
You know,
well, you know, the thing is, yeah. we built a pretty nice community. You know, I mean, Planet Traffic, it's a lot of the same people come on. And, you know, I travel a lot, you know, with the auto industry and, you know, I talk to people and I'm like, oh yeah, we watched the show and you know, we've seen it. And so, you know, we built a nice community, a good group of friends. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's part of the evolution.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah. And it'll continue on. Like you said, we'll still have some fun and kick it and do the whole thing. It's a nice little respite. It's, you know, like I just said, before this break came up, I've been watching Uncle Tony's Garage. He's doing a 36 hour marathon on his YouTube channel. And, you know, sometimes I felt like the plane in traffic was a marathon. Some nights, I know I've been on there some nights for almost 3 hours and I'm ready, like, all right, I'm done. Let me get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So I don't know how a guy does 36. It's just ridiculous, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time. You know, it's people from all over the country, and we got people in Canada that come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just good people talking about automotive.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's what we're about.
The lineage of guests, I know that, you know, I don't have it all committed to memory because my memory is like I left that somewhere else in the past.
Would you forget where?
Yeah, I think I forgot where I left it. That's the problem. But no, the amount of guests that are from the auto industry, like you said, from the aftermarket industry, you know, Nelson Gilligan, Torque Converters, you got the, who's the fellow was just on from Offenhauser just a couple weeks ago? Mike or Ed?
Yeah, Mike. He did the heads.
Oh, fantastic.
Heads and intakes, yeah.
Offenhauser, yeah. And Lou had said, hey, I thought Offenhauser was all but dead. And he actually spoke to that and said, yeah, a lot of people did because we weren't really selling like we were in the past. And now the company's kicking it up and they're going to reinvent that. So all the information comes out. You know, I know, speaking of information, on the bad side, I know we all heard about Jesse Combs this week.
Terrible. Yeah.
That was terrible. But, you know, that's the world we live in. And you know, when you're in motorsports, there's going to be tragedies. I read some stuff. Some of the guys were saying that, you know, one thing they would never get in, I think Chassis John was even mentioning it, like, I would never get in one of those cars because it doesn't have the caging that, say, even like a Pro Mod has. I didn't know that. You know, I wasn't aware of that. But
yeah, me either.
I got to say this, you know, the only thing I can say about something like that is at least when someone goes out doing something they love, then that's...
Yeah.
You don't want to go out at all, but if you're going to do it, you might as well do it, you know, doing something.
I agree with that. Yeah, so. I agree with that. Real nice lady. I met her a couple times, and, you know, it's just, like you said, you know, she's doing what she loved, and the people around her that needed to be, you know, so.
Right. Now, just, you know, message to God, whoever's up there, I don't want to die behind a microphone or behind a video camera on Thursday night. I just don't want to do that. So, you know, I love it. You know?
Right.
Let's find some old age home somewhere for down.
Yeah, I hear you.
Down the road.
Yeah, jet car. Yeah, okay, that's one thing. But, you know, a microphone, nah.
Yeah, ain't too cool. Yeah. So what else is going on, Lewis? You're always a busy guy. I know you're always working on stuff. You've always got
to. Well,
you know, I was talking about your caddy project to one of the guys at the shop the other day. And so that's, we're sharing that information.
Consuela is the caddy's name.
Oh, nice.
She's going to be a low rider. I'm going to do it just like the California style.
Nice.
You know, because over here in Ohio, we have a couple low riders, but they're not doing it like the California boys, you know?
Okay.
So I want to bring that flavor over here.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm going to try to touch every part of it and make it alive.
Right. Now, it's a big project. I mean, you have a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot of, like you said, every system has to be touched and modified. And, interesting. I know we were talking about wheels and brakes, which is, you know, something that I'm going to dig into a little bit and see if we can. Joe, that's something we were talking about. Lewis was going to use the 13-inch wire wheels, the hub mount wire wheels, like the low rise. How do you put disc brakes behind that? You know?
Yeah.
That was the question that came up, and I don't know.
That's where being a fabricator comes in. You got that right.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I want to hop up the motor a little bit, so I need to stop. Yeah. So I need to make sure I have the right stuff.
Stopping is almost as important as going.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
I look good, but I need to stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there ain't enough shoe leather to get that thing going, right?
Right. Well,
yeah, I have some good people around me that, you know, around the country that's giving me good info and things to do to it. So on my magazine, I have a group of people that are helping me. So if you ever want to look at it, it's All Ends Magazine or allendsmag.com.
Right.
And you can see the whole build and what we're going to do and who's helping and, you know, and any companies, you know, that are involved. So you can see it there.
And there is a link to that on motormouthradio.com. We have you linked to us on the website securely, so people can go through that portal if they like. And
I appreciate it.
Are you putting that stuff on social media? On any?
Facebook and Instagram. I'll be posting all the updates as we go.
Okay.
And we're going to do video too. So on the website, you'll be able to follow the whole build.
Nice.
You see me messing up and. You can chime in and tell me what to do right.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It takes a community sometimes. We all need a little bit of help. So
takes a village.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
I was just at a buddy's house yesterday. He's a glazier. He's done glass and mirrors for years. And he made just the stupidest thing. I wanted a right side mirror on my Pontiac. Didn't come with one. And when I put one on, you couldn't adjust it enough to see. To see what you wanted to see. It's just the angle.
Unless you put it like halfway down the fender.
It has to be on the fender, right, which is kind of dopey. So he actually took some other mirrors that he bought and gave me a convex mirror. And it was, you know, and I'm watching him just sit there and just manipulate the glass and sand it. And you look at some of the things these guys can do. When you're out of your element and you see what these guys do every day, it's an awe-inspiring, man.
It really is amazing. People's talent, you know, it's just you know, you can't even describe it. But there's a lot of good builders and fabricators that you never see because you don't see them on TV. Right. But there's guys in the garage doing amazing stuff.
Right. Yeah, most of us don't have none of us have all the talent. We all have a little bit here and there, but
yeah,
that's why it's nice hanging out with guys that have more, because you can still learn. I mean, listen, you can still learn even at this ripe old age. You can still pick up stuff. So
you pick up new tricks.
I'm not going to go glazing anytime soon, but you know.
Nope.
But you know, the thing is, we were talking about a procedure, and I had my thought of how it would be done, and then he showed me how he did it, so I shared that information with him that I thought. He goes, oh, you know, I never thought of doing it that way. So, if nothing else, you know, you just pick up ideas, so.
Yeah, you can always learn. I mean, I learn something every day from somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Good deal.
Yep.
All right, Lewis, well, that's excellent. Thank you for the update. We appreciate that. And
thanks for keeping us posted, man.
And of course,
okay, I appreciate it. And if everybody can go to planandtraffic.com, you can see all the info and, you know, talk to us whenever you need to.
Exactly. And of course, I will be seeing you again. Oh no, I won't be seeing you on Thursday night because you're not going to be on. I just
forgot. No, you're gonna be the man.
Right. I will be running the show on Thursday night. So if you want to come see me, you can do that. And oh boy, okay.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Ray.
No problem,
you guys.
You got it.
All right. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks. Lewis. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Lewis Lee from Plane and Traffic, allendsmag.com. Great guy.
Yeah.
It's time
all
for
around
him.
Great dude.
Yes, he is.
Talk about talent.
We can get into that for a while. Yeah, and Lewis does leather crafting, too. We didn't even get that. He makes leather stuff that's some beautiful leather products. We're going to take our last break. Let's rev it up with some RPM here on Motor Mouth Radio. On 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Steve K, for that great, great talk up.
Yes.
From Revelations, and we'll probably see him down at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, he'll probably be there. He was there last time, too, amongst some of the other WHPC personnel.
Some of the colorful characters from this joint were hanging around.
If you want to get a visual on some of us, come on down.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, that ought to be enlightening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Here's something that I wanted to mention. I found it in a motor magazine. It's kind of it's all about, we were talking about diagnostics before, and it's what you mentioned last week, Joe, about the complete family of intelligent diagnostic products, including those favorites like Apollo D and Triton D and Zeus.
Zeus.
Right? They all use...
Sounds like I now feel like going to a diner.
I know. I went to the diner at my door the other night. We had great onion rings, let me tell you. But they all use the smart data to automatically configure the display to show the vehicle data parameters relevant to the fault code,
right,
while non-related data parameters are filtered out, saving time.
Yes, because there's a lot of data.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right? And one of the things that I find the people find useful in me, besides the fact that I bring coffee and some other things, is that when you go on the scanner, you know which parameters you want to look at, because there's literally hundreds. There's menu after menu, and you want to drill that down to the pertinent stuff as quick as you can.
That's what gets me.
You know what I mean? So this is kind of like a canned version of that, mm-hmm, where the tool company has enlisted some techs and said, what would you look at with such and such a code and whatever, and it's pretty good. When you're dealing with a young tech or like a mid-level tech that hasn't done a lot of this stuff, that doesn't have their diagnostic skills developed yet.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Your critical thinking, as it was, it drills it down for you.
Yeah.
You know?
They go on to say here that these tools offer the extra assurances of short-track expert information, which is
right.
They called it something else in the past.
Mechanic in a kit.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, this many people changed this, and that many people changed that.
Right.
Which you always got to take with a grain of salt, in my opinion.
Right.
Because, I would look at that, but I would still always do. I would still want to do the checks. That's right. Like calling the dealer or the parts store and say, "Do you have the blah 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 valve for the for this night 2003 blah blah blah?" Oh yeah, I got 7 of them. Oh, that's got to be it. Send me one.
Inventory diagnostics. Right.
Yep.
Well, this also
that
looks
helps
at
to a point.
This also gives you TSBs and quick access to functional tests and resets, all within an intuitive user interface that's simple to learn and operate, which is good for me. They say you can go to diagnostics.snapon.com or contact the Snap-on franchisee or other Snap-on sales representative. We call them the crack-on men. They're like
a pusher.
I bought a hammer. Did I bring it with me? I didn't bring it with me. I bought a hammer and a knife this week.
Right.
The knife cost more than a hammer.
No kidding.
I was like,
you could do more damage depending.
either or, you know?
Well, it depends on which kind of charge you want.
That's true.
When you finally use it on the...
But I did talk to my Snap-on guy about these because he had them on the truck. He was very proud of that. And he said, admittedly, you know, he's our age. And he said, you know, I need to bone up on this because I don't do this stuff. Now, you know, he's not even really working on cars. He's just kind of selling tools.
Yeah, you have to be able to talk. You always have to be able to talk intelligently about this stuff.
Right. We're going to go back to the phones. We'll go back to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Joe. Hey, Macho Man Brian.
Hey, Brian.
What's going on?
What's happening, man?
Hey, I was just sitting here listening to you guys, and you were using all that ugly S word. I just had to throw my two cents in.
You know how that goes. I was thinking when that was going to happen.
Yes, please do, because I know Matco has
I was going to head in that direction in all honesty in a little
Matco
bit.
Matco has a new line of scams, too. Please tell us. Yes.
Well, I was actually going to tell us because we just, in our August meeting that we had last week, one of the biggest things now is you guys were talking about information, and the Max Fix is now all you need is a web browser. So if you have a smart TV, a laptop, a tablet, a mobile phone, a computer, you can actually get that information now by your subscription. You don't need to have...
You don't have to have the
scanner to have that. So okay. Now that information is out there, and it kind of works like Netflix. You know, you have a subscription and a number and a password. Unfortunately, it's about sharing. They know it's going to be shared, so you can only use one tablet or one computer at a time. But multiple people can go into it. So, like I said, it's kind of like Netflix. But so it's Mac all about charging for the information, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's great because there are some of us obsessed individuals that may want to go home and sit there and look at the stuff and not in the car, you know, not sitting in the car with a scan tool in front of them and quote-unquote do your homework, as it were. Yeah, that's fantastic. That is an excellent,
beautiful.
They really,
and you know, like I said, that has all your most common fit repairs. It's going to have all your wire diagrams, vacuum diagrams. If you're doing a timing belt, it has all that info.
Oh, nice.
Pictures and times and so forth. So. And it roughly, it's $100. It's $105 a month. So it's cheaper than anybody out there, subscription-wise.
That is.
And, you know, like I said, it's got the information. And, you know, that's one of the things that the average person can almost afford now if they do a little bit of stuff on the side.
Yeah. Sure.
They have the information.
Information.
Because we all know books are getting hard to come by. Yeah. They don't print books like they used to.
I was going to say,
they don't print books, period.
I'd put it to the test and look up a 79 Fiat 2-liter double overhead cam engine and see what the specs are for that timing belt. Because like I said, that was one that got me. And it's like, of all places, the owner's manual had the info. It's like, who knew? But you know.
Right, well, that's German. That's the old German thing there. Just pull out your owner's manual. That's so that when you break down out in the middle of the desert, you can change that timing belt.
That's exactly what Joe said, yeah. I mean, even though the Fiat's an Italian car, like I said, maybe they had Franz working there on the factory, you know? I don't know. Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a European thing, yeah.
So what else is up in the world of tools, Brian? What's happening with Macro these days?
Well, we got another... We got the new MT2779 half-inch impact that just came out. It's 1,600 foot-pounds of breakaway torque.
I saw that on a YouTube video. Yeah, Matco Tuesday from Kuhn Trucking did that. Man, they didn't show it in use, but I'd love to see that thing get unleashed on some bolts.
Oof. Man, it is a beast, and I'm telling you, they had to. I'm now worried about all the poor little sockets out there that are just going to get beaten to snot with this thing.
Right.
But people want power. This is the most power for your money and the lightest. You're still only talking 4.53 pounds.
Wow!
So
that is reasonable.
Weight is incredible. I know that the other guy makes one, or they got one coming, but man, it's like double the weight almost, six right. pounds or something. So it's an incredible gun. That's new, and those are out on the truck flying right now. A lot of the distributors have a good trade-in value. And get yourself one heck of a gun. So.
Nice. And of course, I'm still in the queue for talking to you about stuff like that. But I'm going to take some trade-in stuff because I'm not using it every day, so I can afford to not have to be trendy. But
well, you know, actually, the gun this one's replacing, or not really replacing, the one that it's upgraded to. Even the old one was something like 1,300 foot-pounds or something.
Right.
And, you know, you get some good trade-ins on that. Sure. I've gotten this week. Like I said, you still have one heck of a gun, and the power in it is incredible. Right. So with a two-year warranty, a lot of guys, you know, still carry it with us a one-year. But two-year warranty, it's pretty incredible.
All right, Brian. Well, unfortunately, our warranty has run out. We got to run. We got to get out of here.
Then we got to hand this over to Kim and Thunder Road.
We are done. So thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So we were getting to the M stuff. No, we were finishing with the S stuff. Equal time.
We'll keep more on that as time progresses. But we got to run.
No problem. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Thank you. So long. All right, Joe. We are out of here. Thunder Road. Kim Tracy is in on deck. Next week, we won't be live. We'll be at the Malba Show doing recordings. We'll be back on the 15th.
Yes.
And then the 22nd, we'll be out at the Tobey Show. So for Joe D., Ray Guarino, done. Motor Mouth Radio, burned the hour.
Fried on WHPC.
90.3. See ya.
Bye.